Thank you, Matthew and team, for leading us in worship. These folks come and practice, and we just appreciate how much they add to their community. And so many of you are here and serving so that we can be here for this time together. And I just love how, as Grace Pointers, we do that. Last week, you know, nothing was broadcast, but I just happened to find out because somebody needed a ride there. There were some people at Grace Point who just put on a meal and invited people who were visiting for their first time. I thought that's just amazing how this community is so caring. If we've not met before, my name is Steve, and it's great to be here with you this morning. Welcome to those of you who are watching us online as well. Isn't it interesting that this day when we focus on that, you know, the days are getting longer. For the next 6 months, the sun's not going to set before 6 p.m. It's exciting, and we're all excited about the light, and we're going to talk about that this morning. Let me pray. Father, we just come to you this morning. We ask that you would open up our eyes to see who you are and why we need you. And that through our time together, we pray that you would shed light on the questions we are wrestling with and help us to see that you are the one who sees us. You are the one who dispels our darkness and illuminates our path to experience a greater life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So life is full of questions. Isn't that right? That's my first question. All right. We're often asking ourselves questions, aren't we? You know the internal dialogue, right? What should I eat? Where's my car keys? Who forgot to take out the garbage? What should I wear? What's happening this morning and who's going to be there? Did you have any of those questions this morning? We all have questions. And yet there are deeper questions that are going on in our lives, questions to do with meaning and purpose and direction. Questions like, why am I here? Is my perception of reality real? What's it all about? What's going to happen when I die? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Am I living my best life? And finally, with so many questions and competing answers about life, who should I trust? Who should I trust for the answers? And people have always had questions. And as we continue in our teaching series in the Gospel of John, Signs and Wonders, we'll look at the sixth of seven signs given in that gospel. We'll focus on John chapter 9. And interestingly, John chapter 9 contains 18 questions. And I'm sure that you will have questions as we go through John chapter 9. However, before we do, let's jump into John chapter 8 to fully understand the context and mood of John chapter 9. And let's turn to John chapter 8, verse 12. Where Jesus declares this truth about himself. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Wondering if that's true. I'm wondering if you have ever wrestled with that. I am the light of the world. That is a claim to uniqueness by Jesus. In fact, it's a claim to divinity when Jesus uses the word, I am. And in the weeks past, Pastor Rick has helped us to understand that phrase of I am coming out of Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where God spoke of himself saying that his name was I am. And now Jesus is using this description. It would have been very shocking to his audience that he would have said this. That's why at the end of John chapter 8, they pick up stones to to stone him because they say that that what he is saying is blasphemy. And yet, Jesus is asserting that he alone is the one who is the source of all spiritual light for us humans. I mean, so what? Jesus is making this claim to villagers that lived 2,000 years ago in a backward place called Palestine. What does it matter today? Does Jesus' claim have any bearing for our lives today? Well, I think we need to just look around in the world today and we can all see the clouds of darkness. I'm not talking about the clouds of financial darkness, but if we look around the world, we see that there is conflict everywhere and it's increasing. Tension is rising in the nations. And not is there only tension and war, but we hear in the news every night about darkness in the form of sexual assault, corporate and personal greed, political corruption, racism, exploitations of all kinds, abuse against animals, people, and our planet in so many ways. Did you know that, interestingly, in Canada, every 6 days, a woman dies in Canada at the hands of a male in their life? I don't know if you knew that. That's a very disturbing stat. Do you know that every night in Canada, 3 to 4 people die due to the actions of an impaired driver, either by alcohol and or drugs or a combination of both? Shocking stats. And of course, we know that now, you know, about 6 people every night die in our province or every day through the opioid crisis. It's sad to consider that we're just talking about the opioid crisis and not the dependency on other substances. Darkness is all around us. And now let's get personal, because Jesus' words are meant for us. They were meant for his audience in his day over 2,000 years ago, and they're also meant for us. What about the darkness within me and within you? Do not our thoughts go to places sometimes we wished they didn't? I wouldn't want everything that I've thought of this week pasted on the screen behind me. I wouldn't be here if it was. Never mind, they're not going to be pasted up there. And what about some of our actions? What if they were exposed by the light? Would we be so proud of them today? I think not. But you know, there is hope for all of us. There is light. So let's move into our text, seeing the context that Jesus had made this extraordinary claim. And so we move to John chapter 9. And here you will see how Jesus demonstrates this claim. John chapter 9, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind from birth. "Rabbi, teacher," his disciples asked him, "why was this man born blind?" The first question, followed by the second question, was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." Then he spit on the ground, made mud with saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes, just like Pfizer had said. He told them, "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. And so the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, he just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I am the same one. And they asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud, spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed. And now I can see. Let's go back to verse 1 there, as the text is still on the screen. Jesus saw a man born blind. He saw a blind man. The man was probably unseen, invisible to others. I mean, who'd want to look at this man, you know, who was a beggar? A lot of people just didn't see him because they didn't want to see him. And yet, Jesus saw him. Imagine the heart of Jesus, his huge empathy for this guy who'd made his living by begging and as an adult person depending on his parents. Friends, Jesus also sees us when we don't see the world as it should be. Jesus hasn't forgotten you in your time of darkness. And the blind man probably had many questions about his life, the purpose of his life, why he was born this way. Perhaps what sin had led to this. And likewise, many of us are going through hard times. We have questions about our life. And I know some of you are really going through hard times. You're wrestling with illness, with broken relationships, and unfilled dreams, and you're coping with very difficult situations. I know more than one Grace Pointer who is, it seems, on their last breaths. I know others who are coping with various stressors in their life. Recently, somebody this past week was laid off. Where is God in these dark times? I want to tell you that though you can't see, Jesus sees you. I know this to be true from my own life. And Psalm 34:18 states, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Jesus will not pass you by in your time of need. And though you think you're just one person and that you may be feeling overlooked, Jesus sees you. He sees you. He sees you as the individual that you are. And just as he's been with you in the past, he has no reason to overlook you now. We move on to verse 2, and we arrive, like I said, at that first of the 18 questions. Don't worry, we won't be covering all 18. The disciples have questions about the blind man, as we have questions about life, and they include one of the toughest questions. If there's a God, why is there suffering? And so they ask him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sin or the sin of his parents? See, friends, we all live by some light. It's interesting that their question is so much in the culture of the world they live in. It's according to the knowledge that they have. And so in Jesus' time, some people believed that a baby could sin in the womb. And therefore, their punishment or the punishment of their parents would be carried on to them. And I love how in the Message version, this verse is translated, Jesus' response. You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do. And at the same time, Jesus also, by saying this, discounts the idea of karma, that our present suffering is due to the misdeeds of a past life. If you're not familiar with suffering, I can tell you my grandmother's story. In the 1930s, when my father was born, this was her second husband. Now, her first husband had died. And then her second husband in the 30s had left India to come overseas. And then she got a telegram 3 weeks before giving birth that he had died, caught scurvy on a ship and died as soon as he landed on shore. And she had questions. And people in her society had questions. Wow, they said to her, you must have really done something bad in your past life. That's the power of karma. It's punishing. It's assigning blame. And the person has no control over it. And she lived with this. And often wondered, well, what have I done in a past life? And by the way, what could she do about it? Isn't the grace of God through Jesus Christ beautiful? It's amazing. Because of it, we are free from such thinking. But that's where the disciples were going. They were going to blame. But Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. And he pointed away from the why to what can God do in this? And in some of your translations, the second half of the verse produces a lot of problems. If you read the second half of this verse, it says in some of your versions, this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. That is in the blind man. And when you read it, you know, it almost gives you the idea that God kept this man blind so that somehow, you know, he would be healed for the glory of God. And that's not, by the way, what the verse means. And there's a confusion there because there's a Greek word called hina, and in the Bible, this can be interpreted as so that, meaning the result of, or simply but. It's a big difference, right? And I like what Pastor Greg Boyd said on this. This verse should not be interpreted as suggesting that God's will is behind this man's blindness. The original verse does not say he was born blind so that God's work might be revealed. The Greek word hina can readily be translated as, but let the works of God be manifested. And this translation makes good sense because biblically, Jesus shows us from the context that the question is not who sinned, but who can help in this situation. So that's really, really important to understand the heart of God. And now we move on to verse 5. I am the light of the world. And Jesus was not only making a claim about his position as the world's light, but also about our position. He was saying he's the only one that can lead us out of darkness. Just as without physical light, we cannot see around us, we need the sun. So without Jesus, we fail to see our true spiritual state without his light. And to make us aware of our true spiritual condition, Jesus sheds light on the source of our own darkness in Mark 7 with these words. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. If you're ever looking for the source of your own misdeed or sin, we only need to look within. But you know, sometimes when we don't have the light of Jesus, we don't know that about us. We're not aware and we remain in the dark. And you've done it and I've done it as well. We can rationalize our actions. Well, I did that because. One of the things that I do in my side job is I work with people in the criminal justice system. And two groups of people, men who've been charged with domestic violence, and also people who drive impaired. And it's amazing that one of the things I have to cover with both groups, and I guess any one of us, including myself, who do wrong, is our defense mechanisms. How we minimize our actions. How we blame. How we rationalize. And I often have to help people understand that the law is actually quite good. And what they're doing is really harming people. And there's no justification for what they're doing. But it can take a while to get them there. And even if they admit to it, we don't see any change until they're really willing to own it. And isn't it interesting how quickly you and I can see the actions that are done wrong by others? I can see Putin's wrong actions in Ukraine. And I can see the darkness in other people and how they're living and how they're hurting me. However, do we really see the darkness in ourselves? We are often blinded to it. We all have our blind spots, agreed. And often our emotional reactions are based in revenge, and we gossip and we hold grudges. Such is the limits of our finite mind that we don't realize the truth of who we are. And to truly live well, Jesus says that he's the divine light and that he is needed. And he's also implying that if we do not have his light in us, then we are still in darkness and at odds with him. Jesus shines light into the cracks of our heart that harbors darkness. And as we seek Jesus for cleansing through forgiveness, he leads us out of darkened thinking and the emotions of guilt, shame, and brokenness. And we find freedom. And as we begin to follow him and read his word, we find ourselves transformed by God's Spirit working in us. And therefore, we don't need to go back to other ways to medicate ourselves in our darkness. What's interesting about Jesus doing this miracle is that though several prophets performed miracles in the Bible, both in the New and Old Testament, only Jesus healed the blind. Only Jesus can turn darkness into light. This is a unique claim and action by Jesus. And you know, Jesus' light continues to bring light today. I continually experience the conviction of God's Spirit. And in a moment of darkness, Jesus brought light into the life of my friend Dale. Watch this.
Hi, my name is Dale. I'm here to talk about the story of my life, basically. A changing world, I guess. When I was 40 years old, I had an eye issue, and being born Sikh, and you sort of start believing in the gurus and that kind of thing. When I had that issue, my kids were young, didn't realize things you're going through. You know, I went to a lot of eye doctors and ophthalmologists, and I think I visited like 10 to 12 or even more, and they give me this the story that, you know, first they couldn't find anything, and then one of them said, you know, you may have a brain tumor. And that kind of shook me up. You know, I thought, what am I gonna do? This life is difficult. So as a normal thing, you start, a normal Sikh boy, you start going to temple, you know, you try to find peace, and there was nothing there. You know, you do what you can, you're not too sure what to do, and you know, you talk to people. And I couldn't sleep, didn't want to eat. It was really a down point in my life, and then a couple of my friends came over to visit, and they asked me, you know, would you mind if we, Christian friends, and they asked me if we could pray for you, and I said, you know, sure, why not? You know, I got nothing to lose. I tried everything else, you know, why not? So basically, you know, they came over and prayed over me, and for some reason, I don't know what happened, I do know what happened, but at that time I didn't know what was going on. That night I slept like a baby. I couldn't believe it. I woke up feeling fresh. When I woke up and I'm like, I don't know what it is, but something feels good. All of a sudden in the morning, I had an appointment that day actually with my neuro-ophthalmologist who's supposed to do my brain CT scan, I guess it was. Anyways, I did the MRI earlier, so I had an appointment with him for a surgery. And he called me. He says, "Dale, you don't have to come and see me." So I was kind of concerned. I'm like, "What's wrong? Why don't you want to see me?" He goes, "I see the results here. I don't know what your ophthalmologist saw or neuro-ophthalmologist saw, but there's nothing here." I'm like, "What? How is that possible?" And he says, "Well, I do this every day. This is my life. And there's nothing, I don't see anything. You'd be wasting your time." And then I knew there was only one answer. And I figured, that's Jesus. There's nothing else that can do this. So I was really happy. And I knew there was more to this than just prayer and everything else. And then, you know, as life went on, met my friend Steve, and I mean, we were friends before, but, and then we went to Alpha, and that's where you peel the onion, you sort of realize all these things. I realized, yes, my eye still didn't heal, it was still the same, but Jesus gave me this peace of mind that I can share with everyone else. I'm in peace now, and yeah, it was the greatest thing. I feel good.
I'm wondering if Jesus wants to bring light into your life. Dale talked about peace. He was having a vision problem, and though a couple of his friends and my friends prayed for him, his vision didn't totally correct. I mean, he can see, as you can see, but he was more concerned about what was going on in his brain and what the doctors had told him. And the other thing was he had a lack of peace in his life. You know, from what was going on, obviously afraid, 40 years old, 4 young kids, what's he going to do? And he talks about how the light of God came into his life, and it transformed his experience. He wanted to share this story personally, but he couldn't because he's in Dubai right now. So I was able to just sit with him last week, and he was glad to share it. And I know many of you've had that experience, you know, where you've sought the Lord and he has brought out his peace and light into your life. In fact, the reason I'm standing before you this morning is that I had that same experience as a teenager. I wondered if there was a God. And if there was a God, which God was it? Was it the God that I had been raised in, or was it this Jesus person I had just begun to read about? And I said, "God, if you are there, what's the truth? What's the truth?" And I felt a presence in my room, and I heard a voice whisper this to me: "Read the Bible. Read the Bible." I had both fear and joy at the same time. And that's why I'm standing here before you this morning. See, Jesus is claiming to be the divine light for the world by saying, "I am the light of the world," or "I am the world's light." And he's implying that you need his light. How will you respond to Jesus' claim as light? As we continue in this story in John chapter 9, there are 4 responses that we find. And the first one, you won't see it up on the screen, but if you have a Bible, you can follow along. John chapter 9, verses 10 to 12. And that is the 3 questions of his neighbors. And here they were: who healed you, how, and where is Jesus now? Those are questions of curiosity. And my friend, maybe you are here today and you've never deeply thought about Jesus. And you are saying, "Who is Jesus? And how do I connect with him?" I want to encourage you to chat, stick around for lunch. You can email me or call me or grab a coffee with me sometime, or with one of the other pastors or someone you know here. I'm available to chat with you. And so that might be the first response, is one of curiosity. Where is Jesus now? The second response we see is a response of fear. to identify with Jesus. I think this is a very common response, and I think this is where believers can struggle as well. In verses 22 to 23, we discover the silence of the blind man's parents when questioned by the religious leaders. They were the social influence of the time. If they kicked you out of the temple, you were ostracized, and nobody had anything to do with you. And the religious leaders had said that anybody who credits Jesus with this miracle will be kicked out of the temple. They were intimidating these parents. And so the parents, afraid of being canceled by their cultural influencers, said, "We've no idea how this happened. We don't know who did it," but they knew. And then we see that they also harassed the man born blind. In their second investigation of him, in verse 24 on the screen, we read, "So the second time they called in the man who had been blind and told him, 'God should get the glory for this, because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner.' 'I don't know whether he's a sinner,' the man replied, 'but I know this. I was blind and now I can see.' And then they cursed him. 'You were born a total sinner,' they answered. 'Are you trying to teach us?' And they threw him out of the synagogue." Friends, some of us need to pray for boldness as our culture seeks to intimidate us and even erode our trust in the one who is the light of the world. Some of us work in very challenging environments. But you know, Jesus had his caring eye on this man, just as when he was blind and now that he'd been healed. And we read in John 9:35, "When Jesus heard what had happened to the man, that is, he'd been kicked out of synagogue, he found the man and asked," and this is the most important question of our lives and in this chapter of 18 questions, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Friends, not only is the question Jesus asked the most important question of these 18 questions, but again, it's the most important question of your life. And the man answered, "Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him." "You've seen him," Jesus said, "and he is speaking to you." "Yes, Lord, I believe," the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. He worshiped Jesus. That's our third response. This is remarkable because whereas Jews had only reserved worship of God, the blind man saw who Jesus was, the divine light, the world's light. Note that Jesus himself did not prevent this man from worshiping him. Jesus welcomed his worship. And just as one sun lights the whole world, so does one Christ. Just as one light lights the whole world, so does one Christ. Jesus is unique. But you know, not everyone sees Jesus for who he is. The chapter ends with a challenge to choose light or remain in darkness. There's a fourth response. There is the rejection of Jesus. There is the response of spiritual blindness. And then Jesus told the blind man, "I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind." Some Pharisees, that's the religious leaders of the time, who were standing nearby, heard him and asked, "Are you saying we're blind? Are you saying we're blind? If you were blind," I mean physically blind, "you wouldn't be guilty," Jesus replied, "but you remain guilty because you claim to see." Jesus here is talking about their spiritual blindness. So friends, what is our response to Jesus' claim to be the light of the world and our need to expel our darkness? Is it the curiosity of the neighbors? Perhaps you are lingering on that question. You are curious. I encourage you to explore more. Is it fear of being canceled by culture like his parents feared? Or is it celebration and worship of Jesus because you are grateful that the light of the world lives in you and is transforming you. What is your response? Curiosity, a fear of being canceled, or celebration in worship? Friends, we either have the light of the Creator in us, or we simply are in the dark. Let's not let pride and fear spoil our lives. So we're going to have just a moment of silence right now. And I want to encourage you in this moment of silence to just be pondering. What is God saying to you? And if you are sensing in your heart, you know, I've never asked God to come in and be my light. This is your opportunity to say something like this. I'm sorry for the darkness within. Please forgive me. Come into my life and cleanse and transform me. Open up my eyes. If you've never done that before, this is your opportunity. Maybe right now, you know, you're here and you grew up in a church going home and you know you're actually far from God. You're not on the path of light, but you're going your own way. You're not seeing the world and yourself and others through the eyes of Jesus. This is your opportunity to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not seeing the world the way you would have me see it. This is your opportunity to get right with God. But perhaps the Lord is calling on you and challenging you in some other way, perhaps a certain situation. I don't know. But let's take a moment and ask ourselves, what is God saying to me this morning? And what will I do about it? Let's pause. Lord, as we come to you, we realize that there is not just darkness in the world, but there can be darkness in us. And we're sorry, Lord, for the ways that we operate out of our own brokenness within. We're sorry for the things we've done, Lord. And if there's some way we have to get right with somebody, because of our pride or ego or anything else, Lord, we ask that you would humble us and that we would turn to you and not continue to walk in darkness, but walk in the light. And Lord, I pray for us as we live in a world where constantly we see that the world is adrift from a center in you. And therefore, people and their emotions and not your truth becomes the center. We ask that you would give us strength to live in such a world, to be gentle and respectful and yet bold and resting in you. We just, Lord, commit ourselves to you and we ask, Lord, that you would continue to bring the light and life that you are into our world. In Jesus' name. Amen.